Acts chapter 26 tonight. I'm going to read really just about the whole chapter tonight, so I'm not going to ask you to stand. Acts chapter number 26. We'll begin in verse number 1 tonight. The Bible says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them, even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And I want to bring you a message tonight entitled, Only in Horseshoes and Hand Grenades. only in horseshoes and hand grenades. Father, I ask that you'd teach us and help us tonight. And Father, I pray that there would not be a single individual that would leave this place tonight almost a Christian. But Father, I pray that they would leave here altogether. Father, I pray that there would be believers that would leave this place tonight who are not almost 100% in on this business of the Christian life, but I pray that tonight they would leave here altogether in on this business of the Christian life. Father, teach us and help us tonight. Father, be with those that are away from us for whatever reason. Father, we ask that you'd watch over them at this moment. We pray that you'd help them in a special way. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for it. Father, we do want to ask for your blessings upon these next few moments. Father, we acknowledge tonight that we are helpless, that we are powerless, that none of us, whether it be this preacher or whether it be these dear hearers tonight, none of us can accomplish anything in these next few moments without the empowering of the Holy Spirit, without being completely yielded, completely filled, completely abandoned, if you would, to the Holy Spirit tonight. And Father, I pray that that would be the case for each one of us. Help in these next few moments, Lord, and we'll thank you for it. We'll give you the honor for what you do in our hearts in these next few moments. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I want to give you two things tonight as we look at this thought, only in horseshoes and hand grenades. And I want to really just look at two words tonight. You know the two words. I want to look at those two words, almost and altogether. You know what almost means. What does almost mean tonight? Can somebody tell me? We know what it means, don't we? But can we give a definition of it tonight? You say, well, Pastor, almost means almost. Not quite there. Somebody else say something? Barely there. Not quite there is almost a perfect definition. Almost, right? Almost a perfect definition for almost. Not quite there. Almost, but not quite there. Hey, when you take a trip, when we go to North Carolina to visit my mother-in-law, usually, normally, along the way, my mother-in-law will send my wife messages, hey, where y'all at? How far are you? How far away are you? The closer we get, she's sending messages, and without hesitation, there's always a message, maybe in the last hour or so, where it says, almost there. Almost is not quite there. We're getting there, but we're not quite there. And the Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter number 26, he has opportunity to stand before these dignitaries. He has opportunity to stand before Festus. He has opportunity to stand before Felix. He has opportunity to stand before King Agrippa to really give witness of himself and to really defend himself, if you will, against the accusation of the Jews. And he does just that. And he comes down to the end of his message, to the end of his defense, if you will, tonight. And he's speaking to King Agrippa, and he says, look, King Agrippa, I know that you understand what I'm saying. I know that you understand the fact that I am simply saying, just as he says in verse number 22, he says, I know that you understand I'm only saying what Moses and the prophets already said. They said that there would be a Messiah that would come, that Christ would come, and that He would suffer, and that He would die, and that He would rise again. I know you understand what I'm saying. None of these things, Paul says, were done in secret. You were able to see them all. And then he asked him that question. Agrippa, do you believe? And Agrippa gives that answer. In verse number 28, he says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And in verse number 29, the Apostle Paul said, look, I would wish that you weren't just almost, but that you were altogether just like I am, except for these bonds. Except for the fact that I have been in prison, I have been falsely accused, except for that, I would wish that you were all just like I am, all together. And so I want to look at those two words briefly tonight and hopefully encourage us, help us, challenge us a little bit if that would be the case tonight. If you would be here tonight, and look, I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd, but if you're here tonight and in your heart you know that you're not saved, here's the truth tonight about salvation. It's either all together or it's nothing. Can't be almost. There's no such thing as almost when it comes to salvation. I think I've preached a message before on the man Judas. I forget the exact title, but something to the effect. I do remember, he kissed the door of heaven. He kissed the door of heaven, but he went to hell. Here's a man who is under the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are some people who would argue with me about that. And how do you know he went to hell? And how do you know Judas didn't trust Christ before he died? I think the Scriptures are real clear about Judas's last hours, if you will. But here was a man who lived for 3.5 years. By the way, I think the brother last week, Dr. Westmoreland, mentioned it. You can have a call upon your life and still go to hell. I think he mentioned that last week. Judas had a call upon his life and wasn't even saved. He betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's a man who lived for 3.5 years, who walked, who ministered for 3.5 years with the Lord Jesus Christ. He kissed the Lord Jesus Christ in the garden. We would say Judas was almost. But there's no such thing when it comes to salvation. You have to be all together. And so let's look at this tonight, if we could. Let me give you number one. Number one, if you're taking notes, I'd like for us to see the testimony of being all together. The testimony, and we're talking about Paul's testimony in Acts chapter number 26. The testimony of being all together. By the way, what does all together mean? We defined almost. What does all together mean? It means complete. It means complete. It means whole. So tonight we're either almost or we're all together. Tonight we're either saved or we're not saved. Hey, by the way, tonight, believers, we're either almost working. We're almost doing something for Christ, or we're actually doing something for Christ. Almost or all together. First of all, tonight, we see the testimony of being all together. First of all, Paul had a testimony of an altogether salvation. First of all, tonight, Paul had a testimony of an altogether salvation. We're not going to go back and read all the verses, but at the beginning of Acts chapter number 26, Paul lays out his credentials, if you will. He lays out the fact that he used to be a Pharisee, that he was a Jew of the Jew, that he persecuted Christians, and it was while he was persecuting that he was on the Damascus Road when he had his conversion. He rehearses all of that, but what he says is, look, it doesn't matter. Look, my salvation, my being all together in salvation is not based upon my creed. It's not based upon my customs. It's based upon my conversion. It's not based upon my creed. It's not based upon my customs. Customs is not based upon the fact that I was a Pharisee. It's not based upon the fact that I knew much of the law. It's not based upon the fact that I thought I was doing a wonderful thing for God when I persecuted Christians. I thought I was doing God a favor as a good Jew. He said none of that mattered. And what does matter is Jesus Christ. Look what he says in verse number 20. He says, "But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance." We see, first of all, we're speaking of the testimony of being all together. Paul had a testimony of an altogether salvation. It was not based upon him. It was not based upon his works. It was not based upon his religious life, if you will. It was based upon Jesus Christ. I met a gentleman yesterday and had the opportunity to talk to him for a good while, maybe 30, 45 minutes, and just to get to talk to him. And he was a wonderful gentleman. I really was very gracious and very kind, and just had good conversation. But here's a gentleman, very gracious, very kind. He's trusting in his good works. He's trusting in the fact that he is a good man. And here's the truth tonight. I look around this auditorium, and this auditorium is full in my mind, and from my perspective, this auditorium is full of good people. This auditorium is full of people who've done good things for me. This auditorium is full of people who've done good things for each other. This auditorium is full of people who have done good things for missionaries. This auditorium is full of people who've done good things for this community. But that doesn't matter anything when it comes to the matter of salvation. You see, all of that happens because we are saved. All of that's a result of being saved. All of that's a result of what Jesus Christ has done for us. It is all about Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles. Go just a little bit. It's probably the only place I'll have you go tonight other than Acts 26. Would you go to the book of Philippians? Philippians chapter number 3 tonight. We looked at this passage Wednesday night. Philippians chapter number 3. The testimony of being all together. Paul had a testimony of an altogether salvation. Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 7. The Bible says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency." By the way, let me stop just a second. Let me back up. Can we back up? Because we're missing some context here. Could you go back to verse 4 real quickly? He says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh." Paul said, look, if anybody could have confidence in the flesh, it would be me. "If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew, of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But, what things were gained to me, what things I thought were a big deal to me in my flesh, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." That is how we are all together. That is how I am complete in my salvation. How? How? Verse number 9. "The righteousness which is of God by faith." And so we see, first of all tonight, Paul had a testimony of an altogether salvation. Go back to Acts 26 if you would. In verse number 16. He is recounting what Christ said to him, and he said, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." Notice verse 18. "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." The faith that is in me, he said, in me, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are sanctified, they are sanctified by their faith, through their faith in me. Number one tonight, we're looking at the testimony of being all together. Paul had a testimony of an altogether salvation, but let me give you secondly, Paul had a testimony of an altogether service. He had a testimony of an altogether salvation. He had a testimony of an altogether service. His whole life was about ministry. Once he got saved, from that point on until the time of his death, his life was nothing but about serving the Lord Jesus Christ. His life was nothing but about fulfilling the mission that God had given him to do. Paul had a testimony of an altogether service. He served, first of all, with an altogether mission. He served with an altogether mission. We read verse number 18, and verse number 18 is the ending of what Jesus Christ said to the Apostle Paul, the commission that He gave to Paul. And then in verse number 19, notice what Paul says to King Agrippa. He says, whereupon, after I heard this, after Jesus Christ spoke to me, whereupon, O King Agrippa, notice this, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. I was not disobedient. What Jesus told me to do, the commission that He gave me to take the gospel to the Gentiles, to turn them from darkness to light, that commission that God gave me, that Christ Himself spoke to me, He said, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. He served with an altogether mission. Secondly, He served with an altogether madness. He served with an altogether mission. He served with an altogether madness. Verse number 24, and as He thus spake for Himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. He said, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. He served with an altogether mission. He served with an altogether madness. Listen, if you're sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, people are going to think you're absolutely crazy. If you believe what this Bible says tonight, and you believe every bit of it, every part of it, every word of it, if you believe this word tonight, and you say that to your coworkers sometimes, they're going to think you're crazy. They're going to think you're mad. They're going to think you still believe what they call the foolishness of this old antiquated book. And if you say yes, they're going to say you're absolutely crazy. You still believe that marriage is one man and one woman. You still believe that moms and dads ought to raise their children and children ought to be obedient to mom and dad. You still believe that? Absolutely yes, because it's what the Bible says. They're going to think you're crazy. They're going to tell you, well, you ought to let your kids make their own decisions. If they make mistakes, they'll learn from the mistakes. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we taught them what the Bible said and kept them from some of the foolish mistakes that we made? Now, I understand we learn from mistakes, don't we? Absolutely. I don't question that at all. We learn from mistakes. But hey, couldn't we maybe, just maybe, help our children not to learn by some of the hard mistakes that we made? And learn the hard way like we had to sometimes because we didn't know what the Bible said about a specific area. But now we do know. Well, why in the world wouldn't we take our children to that portion of the Scripture and say, hey, let me show you what the Bible says here. Don't disobey this. Don't do this or do this. In our climate today, you believe in Paul's climate. In the first century, what did he say? He said, Paul. Well, he didn't say Paul, he said Saul. He said, much learning doth make thee mad. He was perceived to be a crazy man. And by the way, what was he telling them? He was simply telling them what Moses and the prophets had already said. Paul said, look, I'm just telling you what you know. You know this. You know what the prophets and Moses have already said. Why do you think I'm crazy? But he served with an altogether mission. He served with an altogether madness. Listen, tonight, just be sold out to the Lord. And people call you mad and crazy, that's okay. They'll probably call you worse than that down the road. Just let them call you that. Serve with an altogether madness. Let them look at you and think, man, you're square, you're weird. That's okay because the Bible says we are to be peculiar, doesn't it? We're to be different. He served with an altogether mission. He served with an altogether madness. He served with an altogether message. We've already looked at it, verses 14 through 20. He served with an altogether message, a message of forgiveness, a message of faith, a message of freedom. He served with an altogether message. Number one tonight, we see the testimony of being altogether. Whether it's being altogether saved or whether it's being altogether in our service. You see, we're scared today as believers because that's primarily who I'm speaking to tonight. We're scared as believers today because we're scared somebody's going to think we're weird. We're scared somebody's going to think we're crazy. And yeah, we love the Lord, and I believe we do, and we love the Lord, and we're thankful for salvation, but hey, let's don't take it too far. Let's don't get too far out there on the fringes. I've told y'all this before, but somebody had me come and do a devotion for them one time. He had me come and do a devotion for some teenage guys, and before I did the devotion, and he knew me, he knew who I was, and he told me, he said, now listen, he said, don't be too square. Now listen, if you're going to tell me not to be too square, what do you think I'm going to do? I mean, really? You should have just kept your mouth shut and just hoped for the best. But if you're going to say that, man, that's just going to make me want to do it. But that's what he said. Well, listen, what do those young men need? They need somebody who's going to tell them the truth. They need somebody. And by the way, telling the truth is not being square, but to this world it is. Just like they said to Paul, you're mad. We see the testimony of being altogether. Paul had a testimony of an altogether salvation. Let me ask again tonight, are you saved? Do you know it? Has there ever been a time when you've placed your complete faith and trust in Jesus Christ and nothing else? Not how good you are. Not because you've been baptized. Not because you're a member of Maranatha Baptist Church. I'm thankful for Maranatha Baptist Church. But being a member here doesn't get you saved. Being a member here doesn't get you into heaven. Paul said, or actually Jesus Christ said to him in verse number 18. He says, among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And then let me give you the second thing. We see the testimony of being all together. And then very simply tonight, we see the tragedy of being almost. The tragedy of being almost. By the way, very simply, and here's the tragedy. This isn't hard. What's the tragedy of being almost? You're not, exactly. You're not. That individual's going to die and go to hell. Because there is no such thing as almost when it comes to salvation. This idea that when we get to heaven that we're going to stand there and God has the balances, the weights, if you will, the balances, and He's going to put our good works and our bad works and see which one comes out better. And that's how, you got in by the skin of your teeth. That's not how it works. Here's the truth tonight. None of us get in by the skin of our teeth. We get in by the blood of Christ. It's not by the skin of our teeth. It's by the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ, and that's the only way we get in. We see the tragedy of being almost. The tragedy for the unbeliever of being almost is very simply hell. That's the tragedy. Would you look back just one page? Would you look at Acts 24? Here we have Felix. Paul has stood before Felix, and notice what he says, or notice verse 24. Acts chapter number 24, beginning in verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. What do we call that? We call that conviction. We call that conviction. The Bible says that he trembled. Why did he tremble? Because he didn't know Christ. He didn't have faith in Christ. He knew where he was headed. He knew the end result. And the Bible said he trembled and answered, hey, Paul, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. Did Felix ever get saved? Don't know. I hope he did. But at that very moment, he didn't. What a tragedy. He's trembling. He knows his need. He knows that he needs Christ. He knows that what Paul is saying, he knows in his heart of hearts that it's true. The Bible says in verse 24 that Paul reasoned with him, or that he heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And then verse 25, Paul reasoned with him of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. And when he heard of the judgment to come, he trembled. The tragedy of being almost, the tragedy for the unbeliever is very simple. They're going to die and go to hell. The tragedy for the believer tonight is you're going to stand before Christ at the Bema seat with empty hands. That's the tragedy for the unbeliever. You're saved. You're all together when it comes to your salvation. You know Christ as your Savior. But what about this matter of service? Paul was all together in his service. He was all together in his mission. He was all together in his madness. People thought he was crazy because he was so sold out for Christ. What about us? What a tragedy it would be to have to stand before Jesus Christ at that Bema seat, and we walk by and He's wanting to give us crowns and He's wanting to give us rewards, and it's wood, hay, and stubble. And it just gets burned up. And we stand there with empty hands. Nothing to give back to Christ. Nothing to praise His name with. Empty hands, it's all burned up. You see, tonight, you may be all together in your salvation, and if you are, praise God. But dear believer, are you all together in your service? Or are you almost? Well, I do a little bit, but boy, that sold out thing, I just have a hard time with it. Boy, that putting away the things of the world, and that's just hard for me. But tonight, why don't we be all together like Paul? To the point people call us mad and crazy. Man, you still live like that? That's the way people used to live back in the 50s. By the way, it wasn't just the 50s. It was back in the first century. Just, you know, people talk about that verse in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse number 16. It talks about the old past. And people want to go back to like the 40s and 50s. That's the old past. No, the first century was the old past. By the way, way before that was the old paths. You know what the old paths are? This right here. This is the old paths. Obey it. Live it. You want to be on the old path? Obey the Word. The tragedy of being almost. What's the phrase? Almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. Paul had a testimony of being all together. But we see the tragedy of being almost. Dear friends, if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, if you're here tonight and you're trusting in your works, it's never going to get you there. If you're trusting in your baptism, you'll stand before Christ one day and you'll stand at the great white throne judgment. And I don't know how everything's going to go there. But I do know what's going to happen to the people who are gathered there. They're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Judgment's already set for them. But you may get to the great white throne judgment and say, Lord, I was baptized. Lord, I went to Sunday school. Lord, I was in a good church. And Lord, I treated my parents right. And Lord, I was kind to other people. And I never did anybody wrong. He's going to say, except for one person. You did me wrong. You rejected me. You see, it's either all together or nothing when it comes to salvation. Believers, what about us tonight? You're all together in your salvation. You're a believer. You've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Completely holy. No strings attached. You know, that's the same way we ought to live the Christian life. Completely holy, no strings attached. Lock, stock, and barrel, as the phrase goes. Only in horseshoes and hand grenades does almost count. Doesn't count in salvation. And by the way, it doesn't count in the Christian life either. God wants us to be all together. I don't know what your heart is tonight. If you're not saved, I beg you to come tonight. Believer, if you're here and you're not all together in your Christian life, I beg you to come tonight. Just come and pray. I beg you to kneel where you're at. Look, let's be like the Apostle Paul tonight. Let's be so sold out for Christ that people think we're absolutely crazy and mad because of the way we live. And by the way, if you just live for Christ, that way you don't have to go out of your way. They're going to think you're mad. You don't have to flaunt it and put a neon sign on it. They're going to think you're absolutely crazy. But Paul didn't care. That's the way he lived. Father, we love you tonight. We're thankful for your word. And Father, I pray, Lord, if there's one here tonight without Christ, one here tonight who has been trusting in something other than the finished work of Jesus Christ, they've never just solely and wholly and completely placed their faith in Christ. Father, I pray that tonight would be the time. Now, as we saw this morning, now is the time. Not tomorrow, not when we get home, right this very moment, now is the time. And Father, that's the same for us as believers. Right now is the time for us to be absolutely all together in our service for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May that be the case tonight. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed. Brother Chris is going to play. Do you need to come? Do you need to come for salvation tonight? Believer, do you need to come for that matter of service, that matter of just being sold out, just being completely surrendered? Hey, dear one, whether you're a young person or an adult, is God calling you to do something? Has God knocked on your heart's door numerous times about ministry? And you just keep ignoring and keep ignoring, hoping He'll go away? It's a wonderful thing to be surrendered. I'm not asking anybody to make an emotional decision tonight. If you're saved, you're saved. You don't have to come tonight and get saved again. If you're sold out to the Lord tonight, you don't have to come and sell out and surrender again. But if you're not, you need to come. Only in horseshoes and hand grenades, that's the only time almost counts. It's the only time.